Hi, I'm Carl Azuz. It's a brand new week, and we're happy you're spending a few minutes with us today. First up, attempts are being made to evacuate civilians from war-torn cities in Ukraine. Children are among the people hiding in basements while fighting destroys the buildings above. Russian and Ukrainian forces agreed to a ceasefire on Saturday to allow people to leave the cities of Mariupol and Volnovakha using a safe evacuation route. But the plan was shut down when fighting continued, with each side accusing the other of breaking the ceasefire. They both said they'd try again on Sunday, though. The mayor of the coastal city of Mariupol on the Sea of Azov says there's no power, heat, water, or internet. Ukrainian government officials have been asking the countries that support them to establish a no-fly zone. The goal of that would be to keep Russian planes and helicopters from conducting airstrikes in Ukraine. If that won't happen, Ukraine's president has asked for fighter jets, and the United States is reportedly in talks with Poland to possibly provide those kinds of planes to Ukraine. But while America and several other countries have given Ukraine weapons and ammunition for the war, officials say they're hesitant on requests for a no-fly zone and fighter jets because Russian President Vladimir Putin has said that would make them participants in the conflict. And the U.S. and European countries have said they don't want to directly get involved against the Russian military. They don't want the conflict to escalate beyond Ukraine. The Russian leader has already called the Western sanctions, the financial penalties on Russia, the equivalent of a war declaration. But while they continue to expand and hurt Russia economically, they have not brought an end to its invasion of Ukraine. Shipments of international aid, surgical kits, trauma kits, medicines, first aid packages, they've begun to arrive in the Ukrainian capital. Government officials there say thousands of people have been going for days without electricity, food, running water, or basic day-to-day supplies.
We are here on the northern western outskirts of Kyiv at the entrance to a place called Irpin. And basically what you're seeing here is people who have been under heavy bombardment now for seven straight days, finally managing to flee from this area of Irpin. And if we pan over here, my cameraman Scott McWinney can show you the bridge here that connects Irpin to central Kyiv has been destroyed. That was destroyed by Ukrainian forces to prevent Russian forces from moving on into central Kyiv. But what you're seeing now is that people have to navigate and cross on foot this destroyed bridge in order to get out safely. Now, since we've been here, we have heard non-stop heavy artillery coming from that direction, also that direction. You can imagine how petrified these people are. These people have been under bombardment for seven straight days and are only just leaving their homes. And they're leaving them reluctantly, and they're leaving them with the knowledge that they might not be able to go back to them. And you can see many of these people are elderly. Можно вам помочь? Можно вам помочь? Вот там, вот там, вот там. Вот там.
Ще трошки, трошки сюди, 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 сюди.
Можно вам помочь?
Сиди, посиди. Сидимо.
You see them, people are so exhausted. They can barely walk. They're having to climb this sort of twisted metal. Many of them, as you can see, are elderly. They're visibly distressed. It's just an awful, awful scene. And these people are the lucky ones. Можно вам помочь? Можно вам помочь? Мне очень жарко. Это плохая. Можно вам помочь? Давайте мне вот это. Давайте мне. I'm just going to help her carry this bag a second, excuse me, while we try to... Ну вот там, вот там, ничего страшного, ничего страшного. Как вас зовут? So people are obviously incredibly affected by the situation. They're frightened, they're exhausted, they're on edge, they've got their pets. They've grabbed whatever they can. A lot of these people have no idea where they're going to go once they cross this bridge. They know that they're in relative safety once they do it, but they don't have any idea where they're going to go. They don't have any idea where they're going to sleep tonight.
On Saturday, the National Weather Service in Des Moines, Iowa, said a large and extremely dangerous storm was moving toward a city 5 miles east of the capital. It produced a tornado that tore through several counties, killing at least 7 people and seriously damaging more than 24 homes. Iowa's governor proclaimed Madison County a disaster area. What that does is speed up help from Iowa's state government to the people who need it. Yesterday, police said it was dangerous to travel because power lines were down and debris and standing water were blocking roads, so they encouraged Iowans in the affected areas to stay home. Their state is located in Tornado Alley, a region of the U.S. that sees the most twisters. On average, 2 tornadoes strike Iowa in the month of March.
This is a two-dimensional look at a storm on radar, but meteorologists see a tornado. But what is it exactly that meteorologists see? Well, let's take a look. The yellow and green colors you see here are going to be your very heavy rain in the storm. The red color indicates your hail core. And then all the way down there, the purple circle, that's where your tornado is going to be. Meteorologists often refer to it as the hook echo because of the hook shape that it ends up taking. But these aren't the only features we look for. We also have to take a look at the winds inside the storm. Imagine this flagpole was inside of our storm and the flag's going all the way up to the very top of the cloud. The thing is, the wind changes direction as you go up. So this naturally creates that rotation necessary for funnel clouds and also even tornadoes. So now let's take a look at the base of that storm. What you have is you have very warm inflow, warm air coming into the storm and rising because that's what warm air does. It goes up. But you also have cold air coming down from the tops of the clouds and sinking all the way down towards the base. Now, together, these help to create wind shear down near the perimeter. And that is what helps create some of the more violent tornadoes. Now, what if your tornado has been on the ground for at least a little bit? Then you start to get this, the debris cloud, which is essentially a collection of all of the stuff the tornado has been able to pick up. Everything from dust to trees to even homes.
10-second trivia. Which of the Great Lakes has seen the most shipwrecks? Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, or Lake Erie? More than 2,000 shipwrecks rest in Lake Erie, which has one of the highest concentrations in the world. But it was in Lake Superior, the deepest Great Lake, that a 130-year-old shipwreck was recently discovered off the coast of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. No one knows why the coal-carrying barge was named the Atlanta. The capital of Georgia, which shares that name, is hundreds of miles away. But historians do know the ship was being towed during a storm when the tow line snapped, and so did the Atlanta's masts, which left it impossible to sail. Only 2 people out of its 7-member crew survived. Experts say the wreck is so well preserved because the waters of Lake Superior are so cold. The Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society explored it using a remotely controlled submersible. It plans to leave the Atlanta undisturbed as opposed to trying to salvage it from a depth of 650 feet. For 10 out of 10, what is 2 stories tall, weighs more than a ton, and is covered by more than 2,000 foam quills? Percy the Porcupine, of course! Now you might be asking, but Carl, what? This is a puppet, a gigantic inflatable one. It was ordered by the San Diego Children's Zoo for a new exhibit. According to the Los Angeles Times, it took 5 people to build Percy, it takes 5 people to operate Percy, and he's only a porcupine head. Because when the project came to a head, it was already ahead of the size of the others. It was head and shoulders above them. And fans who were porcupining away for their nocturne to make a rodent in their schedule by visiting such an arboreal treat thought the whole idea was quiller. From the island of Okinawa, Japan, we heard from our friends at Kadena High School on our YouTube channel. Shout out to you. I'm Carl Azuz.